Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
How many have enjoyed church so far? God's good, amen? So let me put some word in you before we go, and we will accomplish what God wants for us this morning. Do you know, sometimes I think, if you want to open in your Bibles to, why don't you go to Mark chapter 4, we'll start there, or go there in your phone or your tablet or whatever. Praise God. If you don't have a Bible, we have some available at the welcome table that were purchased by somebody in the church that we are able to give as a blessing to you to help you. So if you need one, you can check in back there after service. Praise God. So to the degree that you do will be the degree that you are blessed. Hallelujah. So that means every promise of God has the potential of resurrection power operating in your life. Everyone. So as long as you are established in what God has said about you, the potential for that inside the seed of the word in that promise is waiting to be accessed by faith. And it's available 24/7. And we're talking about living life without worry. How many would like to just wake up worry-free, go to bed worry-free? Come on. Just all day, every day. Not a care. You just roll them all over on the Lord. Now, I'm going to go to if you want to put up 1 Peter 5, Caleb. And I want to, can you do it in the Amplified, please? If you would, sir. And I'll wait for you because I caught you off guard. Praise God. Let's pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for utterance in the Holy Spirit, truth being spoken in love, Lord, with boldness. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear. We have open hearts to receive your truth. And Lord, we'll not be just hearers, but doers of your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. You can stay where you're at. I need those tabs in my Bible so I know where the books are. Shouldn't a preacher know where those are? Maybe. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." You stay in Mark 4. "That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he" what? "Cares for you." Now, let's read this in the Amplified. Thank you, Caleb. "Casting all your cares," all your what? "Anxieties," all your wants and "on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully." I like that. He cares about you with deep. But did you notice? Now, if Peter was preaching today in his church, there might be a group of people, and there probably was in that day as well, that would look at him and go, "Peter, I just don't know if we can do that." How many believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is the inspired Word of God, and that it was written by holy men of old, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it is not in error, that this is the Word of God to us? So if a statement is made like this in the Scripture, it must be possible. Now, you're reading after a gentleman who was captured and put in prison and well deep into sleep the night before he was supposed to be executed. So let me ask you a question. If you were about to be executed for your faith, where do you think you'd find the peace to sleep so hard that an angel has to poke you in the ribs to wake you up to get you out of jail? Somebody say that would be supernatural. Amen. But that's the peace that's available to you. Amen. Come on, agree with me. See, I gotta fight this thing that the enemy has worked, and I have to fight it in myself. The darkness of the enemy that tries to work into our minds. We have to have that mind transformed, which means we're fighting against strongholds, because everything around us, if you watch the news, if you feel, if you watch the stock market, if you watch the business world, everything in this world functions under the dominance of the God of this world, which is fear and worry and all those. And he wants to hold you in fear. He wants you to hear the commercial on the radio about how many men get prostate cancer and the age that they get it at, and believe that you're the smaller percent of those that are going to get it versus the, you know, they, on the commercial, they never talk about the 85% that never get it. Come on. You say, how you even see that? You got to read the word to see it. Because the world is going to focus on the negative. They're going to focus on the fear. And that's who they are, because they're children of the God of this world. But you're not. So my kids have heard me say this before. I love it. I talk to the radio. Oh, yeah, I do. I absolutely do. You say, what do you mean? Well, commercials will come on for this stuff. And I'll go, hey, that means 85% don't. Thank you, Lord. And then the enemy, you know, and then the enemy, he's such a sorry bugger. And anyway, he is this way. And then, you know, somebody close to you will be going through a trial, or maybe some sickness tries to attack you, and the enemy will come and see, you don't have enough faith. You should just step back and go, wait a minute, devil, you're about to see how much faith I have. Because I'm not drawing it off myself. I'm drawing it off the word. I don't even have to come up with it. I just have to cooperate with it. Amen? Just because you're going through a trial is no sign that you don't have faith. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Devil's a liar. Amen? So the world has these anxieties, it has these things in it, because Satan is the god of this world, he got in. But Jesus came in and is now living inside of you. And the potential of the resurrection dominates the god of this world. Greater is he that is than he that is in the world. So you have the greater one inside of you. Say it with me, I can live completely worry-free. That is not my words. That's his words. And then the natural mind will always go this direction. Well, are you doing that? That's doubt and unbelief trying to creep in. Even if I'm not, my God is a good and merciful and gracious Heavenly Father who continually works with me until I'm harvesting 30, 60, and 100 fold off his promises. Amen. How many know in the relationship between me and God, I'm the problem? Go ahead and say amen. As far as I know, God's never messed me up. Never. I've always been the problem. The Lord has never come to me and say, Sean, I got to apologize for this. But I'll tell you what. Boy, I have done that to him. Okay? So he's perfect. His word is perfect. Therefore, we must do the verse 6, which is what? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will. Get ready to run, devil. Get your running shoes on. Just go ahead and warn the devil. Just tell him you're going to need to stretch out. You're going for a jog. Some people are like, don't say that. The Bible told me to. The Bible didn't just tell me to. He told, oh, every one of you can put the devil on the run. Everyone. Why? Because you're so amazing? No, because the one who's cut covenant with you through the death of his son and gave you all authority in the name of Jesus lives on the inside of you. You can put him on the run. Just say, devil, you need to buy some Nikes. Because here we come. He already owns them. Yeah, well. We'll get them for free then. He'll be good. Praise the Lord. because we can put him on the run. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And we read this last week, and we were talking about, this is the parable of the sower, and it's Mark chapter 4, verse number 13, it says this, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So this parable is overarching. It touches every parable. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they do not have root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these, verse 18, are the ones sown among thorns. They are ones who hear the word, verse 19, and the cares of this world. The scripture said in 1 Peter 5, 7, what? Cast all your care over on the Lord. What does the cares of this world, and it says the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in, they choke the word of God. Now the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things are not stronger than the word of God. It's whatever as the soil, you, me, and everybody that is aware of the word of God, everybody that has a heart and that's breathing, that has a spirit that's on the planet. It is the condition of what we have in our heart that determines the level of influence of the Word of God. In other words, the seed of the Word of God does not need to have its potency tested. But the condition of our hearts does. So anytime, and I know this in my own life, and I know this in other people's lives because I've seen it happen over and over again, if there's an area of your life where you have a promise but you're not seeing the harvest you desire, you need to check these areas. Am I worrying? Have I allowed desires for other things to come in? Am I in love with money? Come on. Have I allowed cares? Is persecution stopping me from obeying the word of God? Well, I tried that word of faith stuff. I tried those scriptures. I tried to walk in that stuff, and all my family came against me, and my neighbor and my dog bit me. They told me if I speak over my dog, it wouldn't be so mean. Persecutions arise for the word's sake. It's not that you're so special. I mean, you're special. You're loved by God. But what is more special is the word of God, and the enemy is concerned that you will recognize who you are in Christ. That's his concern. And so we have to watch out for that. We can't let these things choke out the word of God. Amen? We can't allow, and actually that word choke, and if you look at and study some of the things that are there as far as the word of God is concerned, what it actually has to do with, how many have ever seen a vine that just grows all through a bush? And it just entangles that thing. And I talked about how at my old house, I'd have these bushes. They were nice bushes, and I'd take my hedge trimmer and I'd make them a shape because I like shape to things. I don't like it to just be all over the place. And then there'd be vines down in there, and I'd reach down in and grab that vine and pull it out, and then look down in there, there's more vine down in there. What do you have to do? I had to go all the way under the bush and find the base of that weed and that root and pull it out from the base. Because if you don't, what happens? Those weeds will choke out. Do you know my yard out in where we used to live, I seeded it and overseeded it 3 times. I had unlimited water to work with. My grass was so thick, weeds looked at it and went, let's just go to the neighbors. They just kept marching, man. They were like, forget it. That's what you want the devil to do with you. 100-fold. You say, what do you mean by that? The seed is the word. 100% of God's promises just flooding your landscape and producing. And producing. Why? I picked all the rocks out. I picked all the stuff out. I got seed in there so thick, the devil looks at it and goes, where are we going to grow? And you say, just march on, boy. Walk on to the neighbors. You know, at certain points of the year, my neighbor's yard looked yellow. Mine was green. And I would use some, you know, weed stuff and stuff like that, but the best I mean, it was on both sides of me. The best thing that happened was we overseeded that yard with so much grass that there was no room for anything else to grow. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's the way the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be overseeded, to be just have so much that we're 100% filled with His promises. So this is a truth that is unstoppable. So let's we looked at this last week, and I'm gonna skip some of this. Let's go to Mark. I think chapter 5 is where I want to go. I want to talk about, Mark chapter 5. I want to talk about Jairus. I want you to see how the enemy will try and choke the word out. So Mark chapter 5, verse number 22 says this. And we looked at this last week. Remember, we looked about how Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. And then a storm arose. So the enemy will, when the Lord gives you a promise, a word, when the Lord speaks to you, faith comes. Whether it be through the written word or through the Holy Spirit speaking to you about a specific situation concerning you. Faith comes with that word. When faith comes, then you know there's going to be one of those trials in Mark chapter 4 to try and come to take that out. Okay? Now, if you're just passive and you don't, you know, like, I'm going to go to heaven when I die and that's good enough for me. And, you know, I read my Bible maybe, you know, a few times, but you're not real tight with the Lord, then you're like that wayside ground where the seed just sits kind of on top. And every once in a while you see a little fruit here and there because you got rocks in there. And you won't be real effective. The enemy can just come along and go, oh, there's the seed. Pick it up. Bye. I mean, there's no fight. You know, if the enemy comes to my heart and he tries to take seed, he gets hit with a baseball bat. You ever seen a bird get hit with a baseball bat? That's sound effects. How many have seen that? That people are like, not the bird, Sean. It's a type of Satan, okay? The bird comes to steal the seed. It's a type. So how many have seen that pitcher who pitched in baseball and hit that bird? It flew through, I think it was Randy Johnson, wasn't it? It flew right through when he was pitching. This guy could pitch over 100 miles an hour. That bird went, that's what you need to make the devil remember when he comes. In the name of Jesus. It's a word of knowledge. In other words, when he comes through, you got to have that sword ready. You're ready. You're on top of it. You're on top of your ground going, no, devil, you can't plant here. No, you can't have my seeds. These are my healing seeds. These are my peace seeds. And they're of the highest quality. So I'm going to dig rocks out, get that stuff out of the way, and plant this seed and keep it. So Mark chapter 5, verse number 22, and it says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. This Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Now watch what Jairus says. Come and lay your hands on her and we'll see if she'll be healed. And we'll just see what happens, and we'll know by God's will, by the fact that whatever outcome is, then we know that's what God picked. Jeepers. I must have heard some weird preaching at times. He said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be, and she will. Well, that is arrogant. How arrogant could that man be to think that he could come and demand this of Jesus? Careful now, religious spirit. How arrogant. Who does he think he is? Come on. Am I hitting it or am I hitting it? These are not, this account was not written by me. This was written by the Holy Spirit. This is undefiled word, amen. And what did the Lord say? He said, this man declares this. He said, come and lay your hands. So this is his faith speaking. Then in verse 24, it says this. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. It doesn't say, so Jesus said, I can't believe you even said that to me. Do you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. Why are you talking to me like this? Get down on your knees. You stay down there. If I want to heal your daughter, I'll heal your daughter. You'll just take whatever I say. I'm God. But that's a religious spirit that preaches that. Mm-hmm. That's not who Jesus is. We're going to get into it because you're going to give me 10 or 15 more minutes. Hallelujah. This is a great example. So what do we see here? We see that Jesus goes with him. Now we're going to skip all the way down to verse 35 because I'm not going to go through all that because I'll preach it. Mark 5:35 says this, while he was still speaking, so Jesus got interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. How many remember that? Through there, okay? Then verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead, why trouble the teacher any further? How many know this is not a good report? Can I just say something here? I want to say this, and I'm not getting after anybody. I just want to warn you in advance about this. I've heard this many times, and there is a truth in it, but how many know the enemy's constantly looking for ways to undermine faith? Okay? Jairus declared something to Jesus in faith. Jesus is going with him to accomplish what has been declared in faith, what has been requested of him in faith. In the process of that, the situation for Jairus' daughter got worse. It didn't get better. Now, I've heard this many times, and I'm not against this. I understand what people are saying. Just be aware that the enemy could use this against you. The report that you're believing is the word of God. Is the report that was given to Jairus by those from his house the word of God? No. So I'll have people say this to me. I'm believing for a good report. But what if it comes back worse? Do you see that? Do you see how I've watched people say, I'm believing for a good report. And then they get a worse one and their feathers fall. Do you understand what I mean by that? If you're going by the report of man, you're gonna be let down. If your faith is in the report of the Lord, you've got the victory. So now watch what Jesus says. Notice in verse 36. Go back to verse 35. I got to pick this out too, because the Lord's shown it to me. It says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? If she's dead, we still need the teacher. Hello. Well, it's all over. The situation is lost. You might as well let God doesn't need to be bothered with. God loves this situation. He lives, he exists in light and life and love. He loves to get in the middle of what the devil did and go, whoop, you thought you had him. Look at me. Look at what's going to bring glory. God does, he loves this situation. Why? Because he knows there's only one that can turn this around. All things are possible with God and with those who believe. So we're not troubling. You are not troubling Jesus with your situation. Even if it gets worse. Jesus is not going in heaven going, I can't believe this. Another prayer. What is with these people? That's not God. He cares for you watchfully and affectionately. Jesus, as soon as he heard this, now why put that in there? Wow, those words must have carried some weight. So Jesus whirls around right in the middle of this, looks at Jairus and says, what? Do not be afraid, only believe. He didn't say, oh, I guess it wasn't God's will. Well, Sean, you preach that, but what if something went wrong? No, 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 I'm not called to preach my opinion. I am not God. I am not the all-sufficient one. Not even close. I didn't even pick me to preach. I don't even give me heartbeats. Contrary to evolution, I cannot pick my own path. It's been decided for me long ago. I submit to this word. Jesus is right. Let God be true. In other words, Jesus knows the power of these words on the negative side. This is the enemy trying to creep fear and worry in to choke out faith words. Words of faith had been activated and moving, and now all of a sudden, another word comes in that is trying to what? Choke out the word of faith. And Jesus does what? Gardening. That's a care. Clean the soil. We don't want that in there. He fertilizes, empowers, infuses Jairus' faith again with fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. And the enemy tried, I mean, the enemy was working through this whole, what happened in the end? The daughter was raised up, amen? So, fear not, only believe. That's how he tries to choke it out. So, back to 1 Peter 5:7, I'll close with this right here. This is something the Lord dealt with me specifically about, and I'm going to open it right now, and then we're going to finish it next week. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Lord spoke this to me. He said, Sean, my people are questioning my care for them. Come on. They were in the boat. The boat's sinking. There's water all around, right? Jesus is asleep in the back. What do the apostles say to Jesus? Don't you... Jesus, the Amplified says, for he cares for you affectionately and about you watchfully. I don't know about you, but that sounds like God's going, ooh, hey, there's Sean. Oh, okay, okay, there he is. Where he's headed this way. Okay, we're going over. People call it helicopter mom. You say, what do you mean? They're just hovering over their kid. What is the Holy Spirit in me, the life of God in me, angels all around? My God cares for me. He watches over me very carefully. He cares for me with the deepest affection. Do you know that you have to accept that by faith because you know all the ding-dong things you've done? I'm the same way. I'm like, Jesus loves me. And your mind will go, no, he doesn't. He watches over. He affectionately cares for me. He watches over me. He protects me. Everywhere I go, he's with me. He's looking over me going, you need anything? I love you. I love you. I love you. I cannot tell God's love for me based on my circumstances. My faith for his love for me comes from his word. And I tap it by faith and then I experience it. Why? Because I take from the supernatural or the divine order and I disrupt the enemy's disruption. God, you all week from Sunday after we're done here till Wednesday night, if you come back, you need to speak. God cares for me. He cares for me. He's watching over me. God is not causing my problems. God is not the source of my problems. Devil, I give you credit for all the junk in this world. I will not assess it to God. I will not assess it to my Father. Why? Because he cares for me affectionately. He watches over me carefully. He constantly is looking after me. He wants what's best for me. He came that I might have life and it more. He cares for me so much. God does that. He sent his son to die for me. God's love for me is not in question. And by faith, I take it. It is mine and it is manifesting. Well, you don't know what I did in my past. And neither does the Lord, because he forgot it, because he washed it with his blood. You're free. Go ahead and be free. People say, well, I don't feel it. Just act like it's so. Your dumb feelings will catch up. I should say that differently. Your feelings, your emotion, everything that you are is given to you by God, but it can be affected by the enemy. So don't let the enemy in. Get God on your feelings. You'll feel better. Amen? You'll feel better, right? Get God on your feelings. How do I do that? Praise. Be being filled. in the name of Jesus, full of the Word, full of the Spirit. God cares for you. And you need to build, and this is what we're going to do next. This is the next two. We're just going to build that consciousness in us and build that consciousness in us to where God, to where you'll just go, you'll wake up in the morning and go, man, I wonder what good thing's going to happen today. Because God's good. And people say, well, yeah, but bad things happen. No, no, no. You know, people, I heard a minister say this. I thought it was so good. But people say, why do bad things happen to good people? He said, why do good things? He said, good things happen to bad people. Good things happen to bad situations. He said, I'm not a good person that has bad things happen to me. I'm a good person happening to bad situations. See, when you understand faith, you'll look like Jesus did. You won't rise up into the middle of a situation that's coming all against you and go, oh, what are we going to do? You'll stand just like Jesus did when he looked at his disciples. He said, why are you so fearful? Why don't you have any faith? In other words, in the middle of the storm, you'll stand on the stern of the boat and go, no, 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 no. Peace. Yeah. That's exactly what that actually means. It means, it is what someone's doing. I don't know who it was, but what someone's doing. Jesus actually said, shh, to the wind and waves. You ever done that to your kid? Do it to the devil. Amen. He's under your feet. You need to look down and go, shut up. I have peace. He cares for me. Too bad for you, devil. I know you were up there in the holy, you were up with God and you screwed it up. You dummy. You dummy. You had it all, but you, oh no, you wanted it to be God. Oh, there's a pit waiting for you, buddy. Fire for eternity. I'm serious. Just start telling him, devil, you know the smell of sulfur? Well, I've never heard anything like that. I know, because you haven't heard the Word. You've heard religion. The Word says you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might. You're already free. You've already got it. You've got to speak it. If the Lord can get you to do it, if he can get you to do, you'll see the manifestation. If the enemy, through persecution and other situations, can get you to give up, you'll have what he has for you. But if you do the Word, if you're a doer, you will be blessed in your doing. You are not without opposition in this world, but you should not be shocked by that, especially if you've been saved for a few years. Amen. Now, if you're new to the Lord, I understand. I understand that. But some people in here, you need to go back to what you know and do it. Just do it. It'll work. Well, it's taking time. That's okay. You're becoming perfect and complete, lacking nothing in that time. Because it's through faith and that we inherit the promises of God. Amen? Would you stand, please? Hallelujah. Praise God. I think we nailed it. I think we're about 15. So we did good. We're secretly lengthening the services every week. I'm just kidding. Don't forget about the believers meeting tonight. Praise God. How many know it's okay to laugh in church? You know, God is not nervous. The most spiritual people I know are the most real people I know. They are. They goof around. You know, this weekend we were real blessed. We went into some leadership meetings in Glendive, Montana. We were invited over there, and now think about this. We sat under the ministry of a gentleman who actually is he runs Jerry Savelle Ministries, the Bible College in South Africa. He's a part of Jerry Savelle's leadership team, and we were able to sit in the services and enjoy the teaching, and then God blessed us to be able to meet them personally and eat lunch with them and stuff like that. And it's possible that we'll be able to host them. How many think that would be great? Amen. But God did some really great things. But think about this. Now, these are white South Africans, okay? So I just want to put that in your mind because you're probably thinking, you know what I mean? As far as, but this couple, they have the accent, you know, and stuff like that. And but this couple goes to Glendive, Montana from South Africa every couple of years. Don't tell me God can't get you connected to who he needs to get you to connected to. We're sitting in a diner in Glendive. This is not Applebee's. This is not Red Lobster. No, it's not bad. You know, I used the bathroom and it looked like they might not pass if somebody came in for code check or something like that. And we're just, this is country living, you know what I mean? And here you have a minister who has multiple churches, multiple Bible schools that they're working with, has been in the corporate world and corporate business. He's not a small fish. You understand what I'm saying? He's in Glendive, Montana. He actually told Pastor Larry one time, we have landfills that are nicer in South Africa than Glendive, Montana. He was trying to win him over, you know, so he could come back. But if you know Pastor Larry, he just laughed because he knows it's true. But how many know God can get us where we need to be? God can get you walking in the fullness of his word. Just believe. I don't know about you, but I don't know how to quit. Quit is not an option. Sean, what if everything fell apart and it all goes under and you die? I'll be in heaven. And Mike will take over and we'll go on. You say, why do you say that? Because he's next in line. It's in the board. It's written down. You say, what if? No. We're not fearing. We're not worrying. We're resting. Amen? And somebody's in here. Listen to me. I need to say this by the Spirit of God, specifically to somebody. I'm not going to call names out. I think I know, but I'm not going to call names out. So everybody's going to hear it. Your past is your past. Your mind and the enemy is trying to hold your mind back there. Let it go. God's got a bright future for you. People say, but I really messed up. Oh, buddy, if I told you all the things I did, I would not be qualified to stand here. Now, it took a few years for me to get my mind cleaned up and get, you know what I mean? I had to grow spiritually to where I'm at now. But listen, there is no situation that God cannot turn around and start blessing you the way he originally intended. So believe him. He loves you. He cares for you affectionately. Say it with me. Say, God loves me, so much. So much. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your love. Ooh, glory to God. Lord, I thank you for your love. And Lord, we believe in that love. And that love, Lord, we know, and that care, we know is increasing our faith even more. You are a good, good Father. And so we resist the lies of the enemy and we receive your word to us in humility. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget we have the believers meeting tonight.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.